Grace and peace to you, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for May the 16th, 2017. I'm Paul White. Glad to have you with me today. I want to give you a real quick follow-up verse, one that I didn't throw in yesterday that should have been put in, talking about that middle of the 17th verse from Romans 8, where Paul says that your children and heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we explained that it's better translated or better understood that if you're going to share in his glory, you know you're going to share in his suffering. Here was an alternate viewpoint. Well, that's not right. Not an alternate viewpoint. A complementary viewpoint from another scripture that's a different way to say it. Paul, addressing the church at Philippi, says in Philippians 1:29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." So notice Paul said, it's been granted that you believe in him, but you also get to suffer. So their mentality was that his glory and his goodness and who he is awesome and great, but it's also going to bring with it the same mentality that people had towards Jesus in his day. So don't be surprised if that's the case today. Now, let's talk heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. These are the phrases Paul uses in Romans 8:17 to describe what children, the children of God, receive. Remember, the context here is that the Holy Spirit has been placed inside of us, and that he is, in this situation, known as the Spirit of Adoption, giving us the right to cry out, Abba, Father. The Aramaic word Abba is daddy or father. Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit himself is witnessing with our spirit, confirming with our spirit that we are children of God. And then if we are God's children, which we are, but this is just a terminology in the 17th verse. If you're children, then you're heirs. Or you could say it this way. If you're children, then by default, you must be an heir. Heir of who? Heir of God. But not only that, a joint heir with Christ. So if you need to know what kind of an heir you are, or at least what you get in the inheritance, and let's make sure our audience understands this, an heir, H-E-I-R, is the recipient of the Father's will. They have an inheritance, and that inheritance could be land. I'm talking in the natural realm, land, money, a business, a house, a car, everything, a watch. I mean, it could be whatever. So to explain to Paul's audience what this inheritance looks like, he says, if your children are an heir, you're an heir of God, join heirs with Christ. So really, you need to find out what Christ has received so that you receive. And that's why he then gives the, if you're going to be an heir with Christ, yes, you might even get some of the things he got that's not good. Because what he got that was not good was the suffering. Listen to how Paul, same guy, same author, talks about inheritance in his conversion testimony of Acts 26. He's standing in front of King Agrippa. He is answering for himself. Agrippa has permitted him to speak for himself. And Paul goes through all the formalities. We did that when we went through the book of Acts. But then he goes through his testimony of as he's going to Damascus with authority and commission, and in the middle of the day he sees the light from heaven. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then this, Acts 26:17, I would deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul's early understanding of Christianity is people have their eyes blind, they're wandering around in darkness, and they're under the power of an accuser. Hasatan would have been the Hebrew phrase for Satan, the accuser. So blind people wandering in the dark, listening to the accuser, what do they get? They receive a forgiveness of their sins. They get an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And who are those who are sanctified? Phrase set apart in the Greek. By faith in me. So Paul sees Jesus as the eye opener, as the light in the darkness, as the defeater of Satan, the silencer of the accuser, the forgiver of sins, the giver of the inheritance, the sanctifier if a man places his faith in Christ, in who Christ is. That's what this looks like. So when Paul then writes to, let's take his letter to the Ephesians, for instance, when he writes, and this is the same Paul who just shared this testimony with King Agrippa, he would say things like this, Ephesians 1:11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will. This is something that Paul says we have received. We have received an inheritance. This is ours. It's what we get. It's who we are. It's not a, we hope to get it in the future. Listen to that companion text. Colossians and Ephesians are so similar. Listen to how he says it to the Colossian church. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I got to stop right there, because doesn't that look a lot like Paul's testimony to King Agrippa? Let's go back through the things in Acts 26:18 that Paul says Jesus told him he was going to do. Open people's eyes so they can leave the darkness and come to the light, so they can overcome the power of the accuser, Satan, so they can receive forgiveness of sins, have an inheritance, and be sanctified. Listen to what Paul tells you you get. Colossians 1:12, 13, 14. Qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints that live in the light, delivered you from darkness, brought you into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom you have redemption through blood, the forgiveness of sins. It sounds like part and parcel of the inheritance are all of the promises that Paul, as he stood in front of King Agrippa, that Paul had given to him by Jesus, was going to be exactly what the saints receive as they walk in this light, as they walk this journey of living in inheritance. The author of Hebrews would say that if there is a testament, there must be the death of a testator, meaning that if there is an inherit a will, then someone needs to die in order for those who are in the will to receive what's theirs in the will. And the point the author is making is that if we have a testament, we must have had a death of the one who wrote it, if we're walking in it. He believed we were walking in it. So Christ died on our behalf once for all. We receive the fullness of that testament. So if you want to know what's yours, you don't have to go buy someone's book. Just start reading the Bible. Read the New Testament. Find out what it says about Christ, and then you can know what's yours. The qualifier of that Romans 8:17 was, look, there's going to be some suffering that comes along. You can't just expect to receive the glory without receiving the vitriol and hatred that came to Jesus from certain parties, and it's usually going to be religion. You're going to get some of that. I've got it. You've got it. If you haven't yet, I don't want to discourage you, but it's coming. Don't be discouraged. Count it all joy. Because it's a sign that you've accepted the one who sometimes does not elicit love. Sometimes he elicits something else. We'll go on further into Romans 8 tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.